Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, moving through this book. The book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 28. Last week we looked at 27. 28. These chapters go together, and they have to do with the people making a dramatic and visible covenant with the Lord. So last time we, in chapter 7, they were to make several altars of rocks. One altar of rocks had to do with the commandments that he gave here. And another altar of rocks, or another altar, had to do with sacrifices being made there. So this is a one-time altar of sacrifice at this place, at Gerizim and Ebal, these two mountains that were separated by the city of Shechem. So we got two mountains on the sloping, and the Shechem is in between. And so there they were to say amen as the Levites cried out the curses and the blessings, and the people would volley back and forth with their amen. So we've got probably several million people on mountainsides doing this. So this would be a voluminous projection of voices in unison. So that would be a very dramatic way for the people to say, we are going to obey the Lord's commands here. All right. And then remember the last command of the 12 is found in verse 26. Chapter 27, verse 26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. So the people were to confirm and obey in all the laws, not just some of them. Now, these are some easy ones, I'll do these. These are hard ones, I won't do these. But I'm doing some of them, so I'm okay. No, I have to do all of them. So as I mentioned, that's James 2:10, James probably was reading this passage one time in his life, and then he said, I'm going to incorporate my book. I'm sure he did. All right, so now we're in chapter 28. So chapter 28 is a very lengthy passage. So first of all, we're going to deal in the first 14 verses with the blessings. The blessings. Now, as it works out, since this is Old Testament literature, there is a chiastic structure here. So I'll give you a chiastic structure here. So it's a pretty simple one. So we've got A, B, C, B prime, A prime. And key words here, hearken. And hearken. And then blessings. Blessings. Blessings and B prime. And the key one here is enemies smitten. And so here we have the structure on all this. This comes right together here. So it's almost like it was done on purpose. Well, it was. So here we have, we go in and we come out. So here we have the Hebrew parallelism. Hebrew poetry, parallelism. What's the focus here? One of the blessings is the Lord's going to take care of the enemies. So the key here is hearken unto me. Is that overly complicated? Hearken unto me. Concludes with hearken unto me. In between, there are blessings here, more blessings here, and in between, one of the great blessings would be, if you hearken unto me, I'll take care of your enemies. Your enemies will be smitten. So that's the message. We can go home now. Or we can look at some verses that relate to this. Sit back down, will you? So anyway, chapter 28 and verses 1 through 14. So we have in verses 1 and 2 the hearken comment here. So, the Lord says here through Moses, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So notice, hearken there. The first part, verse 1, shall hearken diligently. Not just hearken, but hearken diligently. So this means it's an intensity in the language here. Intensity is, there's no question about hearing. Obviously, hearing is doing, so no question, hear and do, hear and do. So there's your hearkening, hearkening diligently. And to the voice of the Lord thy God. Notice, it's not merely Moses, not Moses' authority, it's the Lord's authority. It's the voice of the Lord speaking to the people. Moses writes this down. Voice of the Lord, that's Jehovah thy God, to observe and to do. So part of the idea observe here is to guard. Guard these words. So hearken, guard them, do them. Do all of his commandments. So it's that. All of his commandments. 28:1 follows 27:26. You ever notice that? Verse 26, I already read it. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. That's all of them. And this has to do with all his commandments. So here we see in this that he would exalt, he would exalt them high above all the nations. So they would be the nation. I mean, after all, they're the chosen nation. So if Israel is the chosen nation of Jehovah God who created everything, they ought to be the exalted nation. They'll be exalted nation. They're above all the other nations. He chose them. So here we see the great emphasis there. He says that God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. All nations of the earth. In verse 2 he says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, notice the verb overtake. Let's look here in Psalm chapter 23. David's Psalm. Psalm 23 and verse 6. We have our word, or radaf is the Hebrew word, which means to follow. In the 23:6, Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The strength of follow here is chase, chase after, chase after. So it's not just kind of passively tagging along. The force of the verb is goodness and mercy is going to run after me hard, and it's going to catch up with me. It's going to overtake me. God's mercies and blessings are going to overtake me. I can't outrun his mercies and blessings. It's the idea of that. Likewise here. In fact, it's translated here. And overtake thee. All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. So when you obey the Lord, when I obey the Lord, and we, or they, obey the Lord, we can't outrun the Lord's blessings. Think of that. Amen. Now, who wants to do that? Who wants to outrun the Lord's blessings? Well, no one, but even if we wanted to, he's a faster runner. He'd catch up with us. He'd catch up with us. He'd overtake us with blessings. So that's the place to be in, right? I have been overtaken by the Lord's blessings. I just can't get away from them. I'm just overtaken. They just keep chasing me down. Now, contrary to this is his cursings will do the same thing. So something's going to overtake me. Now we'll see that later in verse 15 following. Something's going to overtake me in this life. Is it going to be the Lord's blessings or the Lord's cursings? But I can't outrun either. And the one I don't want to outrun, the other I want to outrun, but in either case will I be able to outrun cursings or blessings, blessings or cursings. So that's the strength of that. So that's one race we don't want to win concerning the Lord's blessings. And we won't. We won't win the other race either. All right, so here he says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So we as believers, we have to think about that. Can we say that in my believer's life, the Lord has brought blessings on me, blessings coming from anywhere, nowhere, everywhere, and they just pile up on me? Can we say that? Well, hopefully we can. And that's the pattern that he wants for the believer. We obey him, he blesses us. That's the pattern. Not complicated. All right, so we have the need to hearken there. Hearken there. And so 2 points here. Number one, the people will be exalted if we hearken. And the blessings will follow. Now we'll look at verse 13, 14, to parallel this when we get to it. But remind ourselves of these points as well. Secondly, and B, verse 3 through 6, here are the blessings for obedience. So blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of the sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. So here we see great blessings. Blessings on the believer. Notice, first of all, blessings on the nation. Whether in the city or in the field. City or the field. City or the country. Wherever you are in the promised land, you're the chosen people in the promised land. Are you in the city or in the country? Wherever you are, blessings will be there. Blessings on the whole nation. Blessings on the whole nation. By the way, these blessings he talks about here, we can look at in two different directions on this. First of all, these were to be the blessings back on Adam and Eve in the garden. And looking forward, they will be the blessings on believers in the millennium. So we can look both ways on this. But they can enjoy this in between, the garden and the millennium. They can enjoy that. So notice city and field. The whole nation. Another way of saying the whole nation would. the blessing on the fertility. On the physical body, and the fruit of the ground, the crops there, the cattle, the animals. So remember, they're farmers. They got crops and animals, so they want blessing on crops and animals, as well as on their own bodies there. Now, this in part was what the Lord promised Abraham. If you look there in Genesis chapter 15. Remember Genesis chapter 15 and the great verse in verse 11? Remember that? And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Remember that? Yeah, right. The that's Dr. Grassley's life verse there. Remember that? Anyway, we're not talking about that one. we're looking here at... verse 5, where he says, so it's Abraham, 15:5, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So Abraham's offspring were going to be innumerable. Innumerable. that was a promise given to him. And so here we see the promises continued. The Lord wanted to bless the Jewish people and with their population. He wanted to bless them with their population. In fact, he wanted to bless Adam and Eve, told them to be fruitful and multiply. Now the blessing is going on. It went on to Noah, be fruitful and multiply. Now it's on to Abraham. basically be fruitful, multiply. Now the Jews, be fruitful, multiply. I mean, here's the blessing on the offspring. And the blessing on everything, the crops, the animals, all of this. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we have stated again. It's true, stated again in verse 10. For the Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. So remember, this is at the outset of him writing this, but this is at the tail end of his life. So the Lord blessed them even in the wilderness, and now he wants to bless them even more in the land. So here's his promise on them. Then notice in verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. So in other words, their food supply. The food supply is going to be blessed. They're going to have an accumulation of food. They're going to be able to raise the crops and then store the crops. So I had plenty of crops raised and plenty of crops stored, so they have an abundance. Abundance. Now in the wilderness, they had to learn, trust the Lord day by day. Day by day. We're going to get the manna today? Okay, now what about, we get twice as much day before the Sabbath. All right, but are we going to get manna today? So they... In the wilderness, they had to trust the Lord day by day. So for 40 years, they had to learn. The Lord has taken care of our needs, but we had to live day by day. Day by day. What if we were thirsty? Well, Moses would have to go out there and get some water from a rock. Every day, they'd have to trust him. But once they got into the land and learned to trust the Lord, see, so it's a principle. In your life, as you start out as a Christian, you start trusting the Lord, tithing, being obedient. And at the outset, boy, most people are living week by week, paycheck by paycheck, right? But you be faithful with what the Lord's given you. And after a while, when he sees that you're faithful, you're not having to trust him every day or every paycheck or every week, then he allows you to start accumulating wealth. Think of that. He allows you to start accumulating because you've learned to trust him day by day. And that's what he's telling them. They had to learn for 40 years, trust the Lord every day. He's going to give us water and food. And once they got through that, now he's indicating, you know what? I'm going to give you an abundance. So you'll have abundance in storage. You have abundant crops and abundance in storage. And so learn the lesson. So that, The big issue here is, as I've tried to tell you, and encourage you, for your blessing, be faithful with in your stewardship with what you have, especially with your money. Be faithful in that, and the Lord will bless you and take care of you. This is for your own good. This is for your own good. So, whatever income you have, you need to be faithful with it and tithe on it. It's an EBT card, tithe on it. Whatever it is, unemployment, tithe on it. Whatever it is, you tithe and be faithful to the Lord. And once he finds out and sees your faithfulness, then he'll allow the accumulation to start. Think of that. So anyway, that's verse 5. Verse 6, he says, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. So it sounds like travel. He's going to bless their travel, so wherever they go, they're going to be blessed. Wherever they go, he's going to take care of them. Certainly within the land, wherever you go in the land, you're going to be blessed, even if they want to go out of the land, but especially in the land, wherever you travel, you're going to be blessed. That's what we want as well whenever we travel, especially on I-91, we want to be blessed. safety all around. So safety and travel, it seems like he's saying here when they're traveling. All right, so these are the blessings, 3 through 6. Now a great blessing for them is in the middle point here, verse 7. The Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. So he wants to show himself powerful to his people. So he's going to allow the enemies to come. All right, enemies, you come on. And I'm going to take care of you one of seven ways, basically. He's going to take care of them. See, one of the things when difficulties come, the Lord wants to show himself who he is in the difficulty, in the valley. He wants to show us who he is. And once we get through the valley, we find out a little bit more about the Lord and how he really cares for us. But in the case of the enemies here, he's going to allow them. But he is the warrior in chief. Think of that. He's the warrior in chief. And as they would find out under Joshua, the Lord's going to fight the battles. They just have to show up every day. He's going to fight their battles. So in this case as well, he's going to take care of their enemies. They would have enemies, obviously. And who would the enemies be? They would be the disobedient nations who hate the obedient nation that has all the blessings. See, that's a little bit of the way of the world as well. The world looks on us. Boy, nothing ever happens to these people, or they always come out on the good side of whatever as they see that, however they want to express blessing. And they get upset with us. But the Lord is going to cause them to flee before these seven ways. He's going to deal with them. And so they're going to rise up. He's going to knock them down. They're going to come in, and he's going to send them out seven ways. He's going to take care of them. So here we see the enemies are going to be smitten. So think of the blessing here, a national blessing for them. By the way, I'm going to come down here to a point. This is the blessing specifically for them at a certain time in history, certain people, certain time in history, certain place. But they're applications for all nations. And so any nation that will obey the Lord and his laws, I think, can expect these blessings. Any nation that rejects his laws are going to expect the curses. But anyway, we're now moving into B prime, 8 through 12. So notice here, 8 through 12. There's B prime now. So we've gone in the chiastic structure. Now he's going to bring us back out. But we've gone in through blessings. Now he's going to bring us back out of through blessings. You follow that? See that? Oh, you mean there's more blessings? Yes. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. And in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He's going to bless their storehouse once again. Once again, this would have to do with the food supply. Food supply. Obviously, water, food is important for a nation. He's going to bless them. Bless their food supply. blessings on the land. In verse 9, Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. So national holiness. Remember back there in Exodus 19:6, he wanted to make them, he called them a holy nation, actually. In 19:5, he says, now therefore, Exodus 19:5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. This was 40 years earlier. 40 years earlier, and they, remember, they affirmed the covenant, and then immediately they broke it. Now we're 40 years later, saying the same thing. He wanted them to be a holy nation. Of course, if a people obey the holy laws, they will manifest themselves as a holy nation. And so that's what he wanted from them. likewise in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 7:6. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. So you see, he made a mental choice to choose them. All right, so we have this idea of them being a holy nation. National holiness. And if we lived in a society where everybody respected Jehovah God, think what a great society this would be. But we know that people do not obey Jehovah God. And so what happens? Sin is manifold everywhere. All right, so then we go on here in verse 10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. So notice the blessing on their testimony that they're a fearsome people not to be tampered with. Why? Because if the enemies come in, they're taken care of seven ways. And so this produces a fear. Fear of the nations. We saw an element of that in Joshua chapter 2. Remember that when Joshua goes into the land and Rahab is there and she makes a statement. See, the nations were watching Israel. Number one, they're watching Israel because, boy, here's a choice piece of real estate. And who are these people? They're wandering around and everything else. And so, anyway, they're in 2:9, Joshua 2:9. This is Rahab. She said unto the man, I know the Lord hath given you the land. How'd she know that? She's a Canaanite. And your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. So you see, they had this fear. They had this fear. Later on, they didn't have this fear. When Israel got into deep sin, they didn't have this fear. Certainly not with the Assyrians and the Babylonians. All right, then next we see in verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and the fruit of the ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. So here's repetition. Once again, he's going to bless their fecundity as they are very fruitful in all these areas. The blessing of fruitfulness. And then 12a. The Lord shall open unto thee the good treasure and heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season. So instead of drought, he's going to send rain. Now he's the one who controls the weather. And he's was going to send rain and cause the crops to grow. It wasn't going to send drought. It was cause the rain, send the rain, cause the crops to grow, and so on. It's interesting, I mentioned this before, but in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4, here was one of the blessings on Solomon. Remember, Solomon in his 40 years of reign was given peace around his nation's 40 years. He pictured the millennium to a certain degree. But in 5:4, 1 Kings 5:4, But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. Now, occurrent is only found here in the King James, but this has to do with any disaster, any disaster, but it would include drought and all types of weather, severe weather, and so on. And he didn't give that to Solomon. Why? Because he was going to use Solomon. Solomon was going to be a picture of the Lord and a picture of the millennium and blessing on Solomon because of his wisdom and so on. So the Lord didn't give him all types of natural disasters. He withheld them. He withheld them. And so here as well, he's not going to send the hurricanes. He's going to give them rain, but not hurricanes. Or whatever they'd have over there. He's the one who controls the weather. Now, the world doesn't understand this. The world has rejected the Lord. And so if you look there in Revelation chapter 16, for instance, here's what's in store for the world. Revelation 16 and verse 16:8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and men were scorched with fire, heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. During tribulation time, there's going to be climate change. There's going to be scorched earth. There's going to be a warming of the earth, to be sure. And so the Lord is in control of all these things. This global warming is an effort to destroy the economies of the world. That's what it is. Destroy the economies of the world so a dictator can run, reign. That's what it is. The Lord's in control of the weather. And his he blesses people and he curses people with weather. All right, then notice finally in 12b. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, that's the heaven, to give rain unto the land in a season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. They're going to have so much abundance, they can lend to other nations. They don't need to borrow anything. They don't need to borrow anything. And he's going to give them so much. So they're going to be the lenders, not the borrowers. The borrowers are always a servant to the lenders. But they're going to have abundance. They're going to have to borrow. So borrowing is not good. And so, for the believer, we need to try to get our life when we're faithful to the Lord and so on. He starts giving us accumulation of wealth and so on. We're not going to have to borrow all the time, but we can have accumulation of wealth. And even if we wanted to lend, we could lend. But this is what the Lord does when people are obedient to Him and faithful to Him. And so they wouldn't have to borrow. He's the one. So let's look there in Deuteronomy 8. 18, you might want to underline this in your Bible. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers as is this day. So he's the one who gives power to get wealth. He's telling that to them. And it's a biblical truth as well. Where do we get our wealth? Whatever our wealth is. Maybe it's $2 we have in our pocket. That's still wealth. Whatever wealth we have, he's the one who gives it to us. Amen. He's the one who gives us opportunities and maybe contacts and health and wherewithal to accomplish the wealth. When we start thinking, boy, I'm so clever. I know how to make money. I just know how to do it. And I just have a golden touch. No, it's the Lord who does that. By the way, the Lord can take away your golden touch at any time. So he's the one who gives wealth. There's a power to give wealth. That's a biblical teaching here. When he gives wealth, he expects proper stewardship, by the way. Some people say, well, I wish I was a millionaire or multimillionaire. And, well, if you were, you'd have stewardship over all that money. Think of that. You'd have a lot to give an account for. And so we quite often, you know, we struggle with having good stewardship over a little, let alone a lot. But we're not living here for the wealth, but if we'll put the Lord first and serve God, then he'll take care of the mammon.
That's right. Amen.
But if we go after the mammon, we'll never accomplish that as we don't worship the Lord. So these are just biblical principles for the believer. The world doesn't understand this, but the believer can. And so on. All right, so now we're looking at A, hearken to the commandments. B, blessings for obedience. C, enemies are smitten. B prime, blessings, more blessings. So he just can't get away from the blessings. You want blessings upon blessings poured upon you and catching up with you and running you down all the time. You want that? That type of life you want? Well, amen. It's what I want. I want to be run over all the time with blessings. It just feels so good to get run over. Overtaken. So now we go to 13 and 14. A prime. Hearken to the commandments. So verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them. That would be with relative to the nations. So they're going to be a leading nation, not a following nation. They're going to be leaders, the head. So here we see the people are going to be exalted. Going to be the head of the nations, not the tail. When they have to go to Egypt, as some of the kings had to go to Egypt, they were the tail. Why? Because they weren't obeying the Lord. He doesn't want them to go to Egypt. Or Syria, or Assyria, or any place else. I want you to be ahead and have these people come to you. You're the head, they're the tail. All right, and then verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So no deviation, not to the right, not to the left, of any of the words. Don't try to twist them. Don't ignore them. Don't pervert them. Just obey them. It's simple, not complex. And certainly, go after other gods. Now, as they're going into the promised land, there are all the Canaanite deities and so on. That would be the major temptation here. And so they didn't need these other gods, obviously. These gods, although they might promise all kinds of things, they never come true. Satan hates his devotees. Did you know that? He wants to see all of his followers or devotees cast into the lake of fire. That's his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal. So he's not interested in blessing anybody. But he'll lie to people and so on. So, Lord doesn't want them to go after other gods. Why should they? These other gods, they're not going to bring these blessings. They're not going to bring the blessings. Now for us, we're not so inclined towards idols as we are towards the idol, mammon. That's the idol for us. The love of money. The Bible warns about that. Now, the Lord gave this written in the Word of God. The Jews knew this at this time. They've known this through the centuries. Christians have known these passages through the centuries, and so has the devil. So think here for a minute. Satan has reduced the United States to a post-Christian era. Really has. And notice the curses that are coming on our land. Now, America is not the promised land. Cromwell is not Jerusalem, so we got this down, right? All right. Or New Britain, anyway. But these are principles for all nations to follow. I mean, Jehovah God is the one who created everything. He's the one who divided the nations. He wants all the nations, everyone, to obey him at any time in human history. So think of all the curses on the land. We're finding out. There's now all types of shortages. You ever notice that? Even food shortages. Trying to get some things that you want and so on. Internal and external dangers everywhere. world dangers, all of a sudden threats of we're going to be attacked again. Some cities are very dangerous to go into. You may not come out. And all kinds of national dangers. Severe weather. Heat, hurricanes, tornadoes, severe weather worldwide, everywhere. Is United States a head or a tail right now? A head or a tail? What is it? Is United States a lender or a borrower? And who are we? We're having to borrow our oil, right? We have to buy oil for us. What about the fecundity among young couples? And all types of immorality and all types of diseases connected with immorality. This is an immoral nation. All types of diseases. We have the diseases of Egypt in our country today. There's all types of medicines given to try to fix these and take care of these things, but we've got all types of diseases. Later on in the passage, Deuteronomy talks about the diseases of Egypt. That's what we have here. And then, now notice what the Lord was promising the chosen people in the promised land who obey him with laws and everything else. This was basically what he wanted for Adam and Eve, what he's going to have in the millennium, what he wanted for them, and this is what we call utopia. Utopia. This would be the utopia that the Lord wanted to set his people up for if they'd only obey. Now, there's never going to be any utopia on earth, certainly before the millennium anyway, in our dispensation. Not going to be any utopia because we have mankind is disobedient to the Lord. However, everybody wants to offer utopia. I've got a plan. This is how it's going to work. Maybe it's going to be socialism. Socialism is such a good plan. I mean, as long as I'm one of the elite. But the masses have to pay for all my wealthy things that I want. And that's where the devil is driving our country and the whole world into socialism, where there's going to be one dictator involved setting things up. And that's what's going on with so much of the opportunities for the many dictators and local government and so on. Especially with the mask and the vaccines and all this. Now, there's a place for this, I understand it. But this is just an overreach, a tremendous overreach for little, dinky, insignificant dictators to try to control things. It's really what it is. And in that, what is the enemy? The enemy is an unseen something. We can't even see the enemy. And there's the fear of fear. That's what happens here, is it becomes the fear of fear. Now, we have to be wise with our health and so on, so I'm not discounting any of that. But the utopia that's being promised by so many different people will never work because it's based on rebellion against Jehovah God. Utopia will never come based on rebellion against Jehovah God. So it doesn't matter what the politicians say, what the social scientists say, and so on. This is how we're all going to live happy. No, it's not going to work. Not going to work. And it's based on disobedience. So as we look through here, all these blessings, and by the way, I think to a certain degree when our nation was founded, became a had a Judeo-Christian foundation, we saw many of these blessings. But in time, as deterioration came spiritually, so many of these blessings went away. You think of that. You think of the history. I mean, I look back, back when I was a teenager, the things that are facing young people today were unheard of. And all the diseases that people have today of all sorts, maybe they weren't categorized then. Somebody's just sick, One of the 101 sicknesses. Somebody's just sick. Maybe that's what it was, but I'll tell you this. In my lifetime, I've seen a drastic change from somewhat of a an enjoyable youth where you could leave your doors unlocked, your cars unlocked, didn't have to worry about getting shot down or anything in any city in America, and the simplicity of life and so on. But all that's gone, to be sure. And so Satan knows that. So Satan knows the passage, and he wants to take a people, was the nation of Israel in the past, or our nation, or any other nation, or Christians in general. He wants to take them from obedience to disobedience. And so either the blessings or the cursings will fall on individuals appropriately, and then on collective individuals making up a nation as well. And so I think we can certainly see some application here. So do I want to have the Lord's blessings chasing me down and capturing me and catching me all the time? Then I'll better obey. That's what I want. And because the converse would not be pleasant. I remember one time when I was working a job. I was about 18 years old, just out of high school and so on. So I had to go around to different cities. And I was working for a civil engineer, so we'd go to a different city, and we'd stay overnight. Several of us stay overnight at a motel or stay for a week. And so I remember one night I went out for supper by myself after work, and small little town there. So I was had my dinner. I was kind of casually walking along Main Street, a little town there. Indiana, and I noticed coming the other way, the other side of the street, about two blocks down, were two older men, probably in their 30s, rough, rugged-looking men, coming down the street, on the other side of the street. So I'm watching them. They start pointing towards me, walking closer. Then they cross the street, came on my side of the street. I'm thinking, they're pointing towards me, coming towards me, they're following me, so I crossed over the street. They crossed back over. These men are coming after me. And so I think I ducked into a shop or something, went out the back door, and I got away. But at that time, I didn't want them to catch up with me. And I don't want the Lord's curses to catch up with me, because they'll cross the street and follow us down and jump on us and bring about bad hurt, right? So I don't want that. We don't want that. So let's learn from the Lord, obey Him, and see His blessings on us. Our Father, we thank you for the time we've had to be in the Word of God. We pray that you bless us now, bless in the prayer time as well, we pray. For ask in Jesus' name, amen.